Take your Bibles and let's turn to Ruth chapter 4. Ruth chapter 4, and we'll be focused on verses 1 through 11. We had left off last week with Boaz having promised Ruth that she would be redeemed. Ruth would be redeemed. And he says in chapter 3, verse 13, after assuring her that she would be redeemed, he said, "Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman." Well, that's great. Let him do the kinsman's part. "But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning." So this was the comforting word of Boaz to Ruth. And then Naomi reaffirms and confirms that comforting word to Ruth. All right, let's look at verse 18. Then said Naomi, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day." And we see how that Naomi is a picture of the church who takes the words of Christ, those comforting, reassuring promises, and recounts those promises in the ears of the Lord's people, assuring them of what the Lord has promised to do for his people in grace and in mercy. And we see Ruth is a picture of the Holy Ghost, who takes the words of Christ, the promises of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and confirms and affirms these blessed promises, these comforting words to his people. And you say, well, it sounds like the church and the Spirit are one. Well, we are one in Christ. That is, our voice is lifted up with the voice, and we say the same thing. We preach and declare the Lord Jesus Christ to his people, to the needy sinner, assuring the people of God of the promises of God to them in Christ. And she said, "Sit still, my daughter." And that's the hardest thing for the carnal man to do, isn't it? Sit still. I need to be working. I want to put my hand to the work and fix this and start this and do that. That's what the carnal man wants to do. But the Lord comforts his people and says, "Be still. Wait upon the Lord. He's able and willing. And he does marvelously before the eyes of his people, so that we glory in him and give him all the praise and thanks when the work is done. Because we know it wasn't by me, it wasn't by my works, it wasn't because of what I did. It's because of the faithfulness, the blessedness of the Lord our God, who richly blesses us in his Son, Jesus Christ." So we left off waiting on the outcome of Ruth's redemption. And today we're going to see Boaz's redemption of Ruth and see that Ruth's redemption is my redemption. It's a picture of you, the people of God. It's a picture of your redemption in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I've titled this message, "Ruth's Redemption, My Redemption." Because it's a picture of our redemption, of what our Savior, our Lord, Jesus Christ did for his people. So the first thing we notice here is the public nature of Boaz's redemption of Ruth. It's a publicly done thing for Ruth. Look at verse 1. Ruth 4, verse 1. "Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom Boaz said, Ho, such an one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down." And so this was done at the gate. This was done in the gate. This was the main part of the city. This is where business was done. This is where legal matters were taken care of. It was done publicly before all. It was like we would go to to the town hall or city hall and conduct certain legal matters to make sure that they were done properly with witnesses and that it could be testified to that everything was done properly and in order, legally and justly, so that if anything came against it, you could provide all the information publicly, you could show what was done and that it was all done proper. And so the gate is where such matters were done in the city at that time. And we read in verse 2, Boaz took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit ye down here," and they sat down. And so Boaz took 10 men and brought them near so that they could see what was done, they could hear what was said and what was done, and make sure that, yes, this is all done properly. And, you know, when we look at this, when we look at Boaz and say, this man is an Israelite, he's a faithful and a just man. He's a good man. And you might wonder, why would Boaz want to marry Ruth? Why would he want to marry Ruth the Moabitess? It could be said of Boaz that he was circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel. He is of the tribe of Judah, Bethlehem Judah, and Hebrew of the Hebrews. And you might think, why would he want to marry Ruth the Moabitess? A stranger, a Gentile dog, someone who was not part of the body of Israel, someone who was an outsider. She wasn't born of Jewish parents. She wasn't born into the family of God by natural birth. She's just Ruth the Moabitess. And why would he want to join himself to her? Boaz loved Ruth. He loved her, and he wasn't ashamed of her. He wasn't ashamed to take her as his wife. And so he would redeem her publicly before the whole city so that they all knew, Ruth is my beloved bride. I love her. I've given her all. I provided for her. She's mine. Let no one touch her. I love her. And that's what Boaz is showing here very publicly. And so it is that our faithful Lord and Savior, the Son of God, took upon him flesh, the likeness of our flesh, yet without sin, not being born of Adam's seed, but conceived of the Holy Ghost in Mary's womb. And he took upon him flesh, brethren, that he might come and be the faithful redeemer of his people, the faithful, the fit and perfect sacrifice for his people, that he would be our substitute. And he went so far as to bear our sin, to bear our shame before the Father, to bear it publicly on the cross to put it away. Christ did that for you whom he loves. You that now believe on him, have heard his word, have heard his voice, and believe by the faith which God has wrought in your hearts, giving you life by the Holy Spirit. And so he bore our shame in order to justify his people, in order to obtain for us life eternal, that we might know him and have fellowship with him. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for God hath made Christ to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So that the righteousness of our Lord and Savior is now imputed to us. And he's made known to us by his grace and mercy. And so for this cause, we rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. We worship him. We glory in what Christ has done for us. And we're glad and thankful and full of joy as the Lord brings it to our heart and makes us to know what Christ did for me, what he's done for me, for my salvation, that I might know him. We glory in what he's done. He wasn't ashamed of us. He didn't do this in a corner. This wasn't done in a dark place so that Nobody knows. It's public. It's well known around the world what Christ has done for his needy, sinful people, to make us righteous, to make us the people of God. He came as our surety, saying, put their debt on me. Put all that they owe on me. I'll pay it. I'll pay it in full. And he did. He went to the cross and paid it in full, willingly, gladly, with his face set as a flint to go to Jerusalem for you, his people, to put away your sin, to make you clean and righteous and the people of the true and living God. And so our Lord saved us with great pleasure, with great pleasure. The way Boaz went and redeemed Ruth, with great pleasure, full of joy, happy, happy to do it, happy. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He did that gladly, with pleasure. With pleasure. When we think of ourselves and we think of our folly, our sin, our rebellion against him, yet he did it with great joy. It was his pleasure to redeem us, to save us, to make us his own people. What a gracious and merciful and glorious Savior. And so he put that shame of our sin aside in order that he might make satisfaction for us. And it was all done willingly. Nothing was taken from him. Nothing was forced upon him. He did this knowing what we are, that we are sin. Our very nature is sin, and we're full of sin, and all we do is sin. And all we do is sin and rebel against him in ways that we don't, in ways we know, and in ways we don't know, but the Lord is merciful to us. So this was a public matter, and there were many witnesses. Verse 2, he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit ye down here. And they sat down, so that everyone in Bethlehem knew what Boaz was doing for Ruth. I'm sure that word traveled fast through that city. Boaz is talking about Ruth. He's going to marry her. He's going to redeem her. All her debts would be paid. All of her needs met perfectly. She would be married, and a seed would be raised up for the dead for an inheritance. And it was all done very publicly. And that's what our Savior did for us. All our debts were paid. All our needs are met. We are the bride of Christ, to be married to him in that great day. And he's put the down payment for us with his own blood, so that we're his, and he's coming for us. He's returning for us. And all our needs are met in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have an inheritance with him in that heavenly land with our God and our Savior. And so everything's settled by him. Turn over to Colossians 2. Colossians 2, and we'll look at verses 14 and 15. There Paul says of what our Savior did for us, that when he was there on the cross, he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances, those laws that are against us, all that's contrary to us, all that condemns us and declares that we are guilty. Christ blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, because we don't have the ability, the strength, the righteousness to do that which is righteous before God. And he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Our sins, our guilt was nailed to the cross and put away, so that we're not sinful to our God. We're not guilty of crimes and rebellion against our God. It's put away. We are righteous before God. We are righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ, and his righteousness is my righteousness. And verse 15 says that he spoiled principalities and powers. He took from them what they intended and purposed to do to God's people, to destroy us. He spoiled them. He ruined their plans. He demolished them, blew it up, just destroyed what they intended to do for us. And he made a show of them openly. In other words, he made them a public spectacle. He put them to an open shame because they cannot touch us. They cannot take from us that inheritance which Christ has wrought for us in the death of himself. There's nothing they can do against us. It's all put away. He delivered our souls from the pit, brethren. We're delivered out of hell and destruction. The grave won't hold us. Death can't hold us. Christ has conquered the grave, and he's conquered death. He's conquered sin. He's conquered all our enemies, and we are now his people, his redeemed people. This was a legal matter as well. It was a legal matter. Boaz loved Ruth. He could have run off with her. He could have taken her and said, "This is great. Let's make this happen. Let's go do this quickly." But no, this was a legal matter. Boaz was a just man. The law had to be honored and upheld. It's not that he wasn't willing to make Ruth his wife. He certainly was. He wanted Ruth to be his wife, but it had to be done just and properly before many witnesses. This had to be done justly so that God was honored, his holy law was honored. Let's look at this in verses 3 and 4. Ruth 4, verse 3 and 4. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And this kinsman redeemer, the near one, said, I will redeem it. I'll redeem it. And so the redemption of a poor relative, it's laid out in the scriptures, it's spoken of. And it's not that anyone of that family can just say, I'll do it, and just jump ahead. It had a proper order. It had a proper succession that the person who had the right first, the right, the foremost right to do it, it was theirs to decide whether they would redeem their relative or not. It had to go through that proper order. And Boaz is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ who loves his bride, the church. And Boaz will redeem Ruth. He wills to redeem Ruth. He's pleased to do that work of redemption for her. But there is a kinsman nearer. There is a kinsman that is in that proper order, if you will. And so the picture here is of the law of God, right? That near kinsman redeemer being the law of God. If the law can redeem the child of God, well, great. Then they're redeemed. If the law can do that, fine. It'll all be settled. And that is, if a man can take that law and by the law justify himself, live righteously and perfectly before the law, somehow putting away his sinful, vile, wicked nature and doing that which is right before God under the law, well, then he'll be declared justified. He'll be declared righteous by the law and therefore justified by God that he is righteous. If you can do it, if we can do it, but we know, according to the scriptures, that we cannot keep the law. I'm sin. I'm not just a doer of sin. I am sin. That's my very nature. Corrupt and defiled, ruined in the fall. And that's how the people of God. And the law cannot make us righteous. It can't do anything to turn us from what we are. It only declares what we are. We're either just and righteous before the law, or we're guilty, vile sinners. before the law. All the law can do is tell you and me what we are. What we are. We're either righteous or we're not and are condemned by the law. Turn over to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, and we'll pick up in verse 10. And if you go away from there, just leave a little mark because we'll come back, picking up in verse 13 later. But verses 10 through 12 says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it's written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And I am not able to continue in the law and to do them all. I've already condemned myself. I've already proven and shown that I cannot continue and keep the law of God perfectly. So if I try to live by that law, I'm under the curse of the law because I haven't done it. I haven't kept it perfectly. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it's evident." What do you mean? Well, God's already declared that the just shall live by faith. That's why God said it. The just shall live by faith, because none keeps the law of God righteously, perfectly, and is justified by it. So God's already provided and declared the way through his Son, Jesus Christ, so that those who are justified in him before God live by faith, walk by faith before him. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. And so we see that in trying to keep the law, in what we say is just, we don't keep it, whether we're under the law or not. And in religion, we don't even keep that perfectly. We fail and stumble and wander about, groping about in darkness, trying to find God and justify ourselves before God, so that we're brought to see that I'm sin, I'm guilty before God. All I do is sin. I can't do that which is right and pleasing to my God. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy. And so that's what he does. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. He makes us to know what we are in order that his people would cry out, "Lord, save me. I can't do this. I can't justify myself because I'm sin." He brings his people to see that. And so this is what's made evident to us in the next verses. Look at back in Ruth 4, verse 5 and 6. We'll come back to Galatians 3 in a moment, but verse 5 and 6. "Then said Boaz, what day?" Right? The near kinsman said, I'll redeem the land. I'll redeem the land. And Boaz said, "Well, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi? Thou must buy it also of Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance." And the kinsman said, I can't redeem it for myself. I can't do that, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it." We're not told specifically what the issue was, but when it came to Ruth, he said, I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't redeem Ruth and mar mine own inheritance. So therefore, the law could do nothing. Right? It couldn't do some of it, and then Christ do the other part of it. Christ had to do the whole thing, like Boaz. He couldn't say, well, I'll pick up the land part, and you pick up the marriage part. No. I'm out. I can do nothing, the law says. I have no part in this work at all. You redeem it. You do it. You do it. Because otherwise, I'd mar my own inheritance. So the law doesn't save us. The law has no part. We have no part in the law, and the law has nothing to say to us. We're dead to the law. We've been crucified. This old man's been crucified with Christ. We're dead to the law. We have no part in the law. All our part is in Christ. All our inheritance is in Christ. All our blessings and fellowship and peace with God is in Christ, not by the law. We're not justified by the law. We're justified by Christ. We're not sanctified by the law. We're sanctified by the Lord Jesus Christ, with all of him. We glory in him and in him alone. The law, it's holy, it's just, it's good, but it cannot forgive sin and it cannot show mercy. All it can do is tell us what we are. We're either just or unjust. If it did anything else, it would mar its own inheritance. It would mar its own justice. And so the law makes us to know, I'm undesirable. Right? Ruth knew right then and there she's undesirable to that near kinsman. But she's very desirable to Boaz. He was happy to do it. And that's what we see. We're undesirable. We're undesirable to the world. We're undesirable to the law. We're undesirable. But we're precious to Christ. He loves us. He showed us that by coming and redeeming his people. We're precious to him. And so, like Ruth, we are poor, destitute sinners who get no help from the law. We get no help from the law. It cannot secure our inheritance in heavenly Canaan. It doesn't secure a place with us before the throne of God. By the law, we cannot raise up a seed to inherit the land. We can't bring forth fruit unto God by the law. All we can do is bring forth corrupt, vile, stinking fruit. That's it. But Christ brings forth righteous fruit, holy fruit unto God. And so if the law would be our redeemer, then we must surely die in our sins. As the Lord said to those Jews in John chapter 8, right? If you do not believe on me, Christ said, you will die in your sins. You will die. Christ is the salvation of his people. And so our God's given us a great hope and a door of salvation in the righteousness, in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the righteousness of his people. And we are delivered out of the kingdom of darkness, out of the pit, out from under the curse of the law, and are delivered into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God's dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are made righteous in him. He's our all. And so Boaz was willing to marry Ruth the Moabitess, the Gentile dog, to buy the land, to marry her, and to raise up a seed in the name of her dead husband to restore the inheritance. Right? He came in the flesh, and he purchased us to raise up a seed unto God, to marry his wife, to redeem his bride. Look again at Galatians 3. Galatians 3, verse 13 and 14, and then we'll come back to Ruth. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, that faith, the word of faith, that good news of the gospel would come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Not because we've kept the law perfectly, Christ did. And we've kept it perfectly in the Lord Jesus Christ. And walk by faith in him. All right, go back to Ruth 4, verses 9 and 10 now. And Boaz said unto the elders and to all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren. And from the gate of his place, ye are witnesses this day. And so Ruth was redeemed that day by Boaz. She became his wife. And so it is that we, brethren, are justified by Christ and are his bride. We are his people, purchased of him. And the law, looking upon it, can find nothing wrong, can find no unjust thing, can find no sin, nothing to condemn us. The law looks upon it and says, it's just, it's all just. I've got nothing to say. I've got nothing to pick it apart with. It was all done perfectly righteous and well. And Boaz said, your witnesses this day. Now remember back in verse 2, it says that Boaz took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit ye down here. And they sat down. And that is a picture of the Ten Commandments, right? The Ten Commandments that look upon what's being done and bear witness that this man Boaz has done everything just, everything faithful. Just as our Lord and Savior came and he loved the Lord his God with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his mind and with all his strength, and he loved his neighbor as himself. Christ did everything well. Christ did all things well and perfect and righteous. And that's what we see of our Savior in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5 and 6. Look at Jeremiah 23, verse 5 and 6. We see here where the prophet brings us out to glorify our Savior in our eyes, to glorify him in our heart, to show what he's done for us, his love for us, and how that he redeemed us and perfected us in his own blood. It says, verse 5, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. And so we see that with Christ our Savior, though he is the Lord our righteousness. He's our righteousness, and we're his. And then we see that this was a particular redemption. This was a particular redemption. Boaz knew exactly whom he was redeeming. He knew exactly who he was marrying. This was Ruth the Moabitess that he was marrying. Verse 10, moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Malon, have I purchased to be my wife. It wasn't a general redemption of all widows in Israel. It wasn't a general redemption of every widow in Bethlehem even. It was a redemption of Ruth. He knew exactly whom he was purchasing. He knew exactly. And that's true of our Lord. It wasn't a general redemption of all people. He knew exactly whom he was redeeming. He knew exactly who his blood was shed for. I'm gonna read a number of verses. You could either jot them down and look them down. You can look them up later. I would recommend that, but I'll tell you where I'm going. Isaiah 53, verse 8. Listen to the particular words, the defining words of whom Christ is saving. Our Lord says it's for the transgression of my people that he was stricken. It's for the redemption of my people. He has a people for whom Christ was stricken, for whom Christ died. Acts 20:28, we're told, take heed unto yourselves and unto all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, right? The church of God. Not the whole world, feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. He purchased the church with his own blood. He knew exactly who the church was, every member of the body, and that's whom he purchased. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He could have said all. He could have said every individual in the world. No, but he said he redeemed us. He purchased us. Listen to Ephesians 5:25 through 27. And you husbands, ask your wives if they would love, if they would be fine with you loving all other wives and women out there the way they love you. And they would say no. No. The word is, husbands, love your wives. Love your wives. Love your wives even as Christ also loved the church, his wife. His wife, the church, and gave himself for it. He gave himself for his church, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of water by the word, that he might present it, his bride, his church, to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Titus 2:14, Christ who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us, the people that he's manifested his spirit in, that he's manifested his faith in, what he's done for them, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, a people separated out by him, sanctified by him unto himself, zealous of good works. So that, brethren, we come to learn that all these words, all these scriptures which were written here in the Word of God, they were for me. When he works that faith in us and brings us to see that I can't save myself and that Christ is all, that's where the Lord reveals to us, it's all for you. You're my beloved bride. I loved you. I chose you. I redeemed you. He makes it known to us that he's our Savior and that he's done all for us. So that we read in Revelation 5, verse 9, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. He gathered up all his people that were scattered through the nations and called them out and brought them to his own, into his fold, into his sheepfold. And so having done that perfect work, we find the one who is praised, the one in whom we glory. Verse 11, back in Ruth 4:11, and all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem. Now, Ruth wasn't the one that was praised. Boaz was the one that was praised. Boaz didn't have to redeem Ruth. He could have left her poor and destitute. He didn't have to do that at all, and he'd still be justified. He was fine to do what he was doing. But Boaz was praised because he did redeem Ruth. He loved Ruth, and he gave his life for her, and he provided everything for her. And that's what our Lord and Savior did. He did everything for us so that we praise and glory the Lord Jesus Christ. We glory in him, and we give him all the thanks, the praise, the honor, the glory, because he alone is worthy for this work of redemption. Praise be to God. Amen.